Oh boy.
It's July.
Oh,
Jesus. I don't know why I started like that. Does your mic work?
Yeah.
All right.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night and I am Scott, and with me is my tongue lashing.
My tongue lashing lass?
Yes.
Well, I thought you were gonna say.
I wasn't.
I'll give you a tongue lashing.
I don't even know what to say to that one. Anyways, Joe. What's up, Joe?
We've reached a new level of what the fuck.
Hey, you know what today is, Joe?
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed.
Oh my God.
This is our show to review, spoil, crap on, debate, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review film unless you know what the worst is. I got through it. And it's July, and we are watching a new theme of movies suggested by our friend and listener, Beck, over on Instagram at This Girl Loves Horror. And her movie podcast is called The Girl and the Gay Podcast. And she has chosen killer body parts as the theme. So tonight we're watching a movie with the tagline that states, this is the movie with outrageous taste. We are talking about the winner of Best Director at Fanta Festival, Best Special Effects, and Best Film at Fanta Sporto.
Fanta? What the fuck is that?
The Best Effects at the Goya Awards.
Goya?
The Best Actress and Best Film at the Cantalona International Film Festival.
These things don't exist, okay? They don't exist. You're making shit
fucking
up.
Fucking kid you not.
You are making shit up.
I kid you not.
The Fanta Festival? That doesn't exist, okay? I don't even know what that is.
Hello, hello Italian people, and hello Fanta Festival Rome. It's great to be here, and it would be great to be here with our movie.
The day I found a girl in the trash.
And we would love to invite you for our screening. Vi invitiamo alla proiezione del nostro film.
Il primo giugno, ore 17, al nuovo cinema Aquila.
Fanta Festival Rome. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, ciao.
Is it the Fanta like, Festival?
Fanta, yeah. Like this is soda. A real thing. Like the soda, it's spelled.
I
like
don't
that.
Think it's actually that, but I mean that'd
it's
be funny.
Spelled like that?
Yes, it is.
I can't.
Yes, we are talking about 1996's The Killer Tongue. It has a 4.5 on IMDb from 1,400 reviewers.
1,400 people. Oh boy, oh boy.
It was written and directed by Alberto.
Go ahead, we're good.
Alberto Scimma.
Okay.
We haven't seen any of this person's films, okay. But I have to bring this one thing up because you know how I am. I fall down these rabbit holes and I read about these people and I try to find out who they are and what they've made. And I just have to read you. I have to read you about this one film and I want to hear what you think about it.
Okay.
Okay. It's a movie called Blood Trap.
Okay.
AKA Bite. It came out in 2015. Okay. It stars Costas Mandalore and Vinnie Jones.
What?
Okay. And I'm going to read you now the synopsis of this film.
Okay.
It says, six criminals are tasked with kidnapping a young woman for ransom. But when they get locked inside her mansion, what they find is not what they expected. Does this sound familiar yet?
Yeah.
What does it remind you of?
They get locked into the mansion? I mean...
Does this sound familiar?
It sounds like it could be a million horror movies.
Okay. Will this help if I give you a hint? The little girl they kidnap is a vampire.
Abigail.
Yeah.
It also could be Night of the Demons. They get stuck in there too.
No, but it's a bunch of people who purposely kidnap and hold a little girl ransom in a mansion, but they get locked in that mansion and it turns out she's a vampire.
Wow, okay. Yeah,
I cannot find out any information about anybody saying that this movie was ripped off by Abigail. I can't find out any information, but a lot of people are pointing it out online.
Well, we're going to have to find that movie and watch it.
Yeah, I heard it's not as good, but it is the exact premise.
Okay, I want to watch it now.
I'm very shocked that that exists. When I read that, I was like, wait a minute, what?
We're going to have to find it.
Anyways, we are talking about Killer Tongue, okay? And let me tell you something. When I saw the poster for this movie, I said, yeah, that's the one we're watching tonight. Actually, what happened here was I had a list. I searched the internet when I heard Killer Body Parts was our theme. And I searched the internet and we had a whole bunch of different ones. But I was like, let's get one of every body part. You know, you suggested we can't do two hand films.
No.
And I said, don't worry. I have a Killer Tongue film, Joe. It's literally killed Killer Tongue.
It's literally killed Killer Tongue?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. Well, I'm sure that Gary and our other friend will definitely love poking that fun at me for that one. So anyways, let's move on.
Or you can edit it out.
No, I'm going to leave it in and say, fuck those guys. You know what?
Yeah,
you're listening. Fuck you guys. Okay? You try to do this shit every week. Hey, you know what? Killer Tongue.
You know, I want to say this. I'm like having a Stefan from SNL moment where he says, this movie has everything.
Oh my God.
Dogs perfect. That turn into drag queens, nuns that own a gas station, an asteroid that falls from the sky and lands in a woman's soup, causing her to grow a cartoonishly, ridiculously big tongue.
Doug Bradley playing a guy with a wig whose name's Wig.
Robert England
with
painted nipples and a bad hairpiece. Two horror icons, Doug Bradley and Robert England, wearing bad hairpieces. In the
This nightclub has everything. It has a guy doing fellatio on a gas station pump.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
Nun sex.
Oh my God.
It has it all. Let me tell you something. We're not even joking around. This fucking movie. This movie, it completely encapsulates everything that I have a problem with the 90s.
Yes.
This movie is that movie.
If
I was joking around and someone said to me, why don't you like 90s, the decade of 90s for movies? I'm going to say, if I had to come up with a joke on the spot, it would be the premise of this film.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like insanity, pure insanity.
Now, this has an alternate title, right? So
No, not really. Because
this is the Killer Tongue, but then it was the woman with the tongue or something. It came up different on Tubi. So we watched this on Tubi.
Yeah, but that's the craziest part about it is on Tubi only. Because when the movie started, it said Killer Tongue.
Yeah, it did say Killer Tongue.
The posters I've seen are all Killer Tongue.
Which, we watched this on Tubi, and it took us like 3 hours to get through.
This was a huge problem, but it also gave us enough moments between each sequence to go, like, just ponder our lives and think about what was happening.
I mean, I was pondering the hell out of this movie, but I couldn't come up with any answer.
Without a doubt. And I gotta say, like, what I was just talking about with the 90s, like, I know we've talked about it on the show before, but I know I always talk about how I don't like the 90s for certain reasons. And I'm not joking when I say this feels like every movie that came out because they started handing every indie developer, anybody who was working on a film, or like not films, but anybody who was working on anything, they just go, here, make a film. right? And this happened for everybody because this guy was actually a successful Spanish music video director.
Okay.
Which is a theme in the 90s where, you know, David Fincher, all these people, anybody who had filmed a music video just got a movie series. Like, hey, make a movie.
Okay.
And after that whole bunch of directors came out of that cult scene and that indie scene, you know, Tarantino, Rodriguez, Kevin Smith, you know, all these guys started coming out with these movies. Everybody wanted to copy it. And this movie, I can think about all the movies I saw in the theater in the 90s, like Eight Heads in the Duffel Bag and crap like that. You know, what was that one? Destiny Turns on the Radio. There's like so many shit movies that came out that all have this feeling like they're trying to rip off Rodriguez and Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like Tony Scott's True Romance. It's just like, you know what? What if we had 50 characters all doing crazy things at once, but they all connect somehow? That's this movie. This movie is full of just insane 90s problems.
It really is. It came out in 1996, and it has just, I mean, wasn't this listed as like a horror comedy? But, I mean, it wasn't, you weren't supposed to take it seriously, obviously. But
obviously, there's a talking tongue in this film.
I mean, they didn't take themselves seriously. It was just supposed to be funny. But the
would you say it was funny?
No, there's a way to do horror comedy and then there's a way not to. This is the way not to.
Yes.
This movie was ridiculous.
Okay. And when I said True Romance, I'm not even joking. Like, this is somebody saw True Romance and they were just like, I want to do everything that movie did. Right? Because the movie even starts with a couple that is virtually the two in True Romance.
It's Alabama and, what's his face?
The guy's even dressed like Elvis. Later.
Yeah, he's dressed like Elvis.
He's dressed like Elvis, and they, for some odd reason, have two cops in the backseat or military people?
No, they're cops, and so she's dressed like Marilyn Monroe. That's, you know.
Is that what that's? Okay, yeah, that was what that was.
So they're cops. At first, I thought they were pilots because they look like that.
They did.
But no, they were cops. They were tied up in the backseat of the car.
They weren't tied up. They actually pull guns on them, and then they super glue and tie them up outside because they have stolen money together. And then they turned on those guys?
I don't understand. The opening scene is them, you know, in the car with the two cops. And then they leave the two cops super glued with their lips super glued to each other. And they drive off, right? Then the next scene is that we find that the main guy is in jail. So they got caught, obviously.
Oh, I love how you say the next scene. It's literally just a montage of him being locked up for some reason and saying, wait for me.
Yeah, wait for me. I'm being locked up. So,
yeah.
But then we see that she's, I can't even describe this.
She just becomes a nun?
She's in a nunnery. But here's the thing. The nunnery is in a gas station.
It's a gas station that's also a church.
And the nuns pump the gas.
And for some odd reason, they're posing for a magazine.
like a commercial for like a billboard. But like this gas station's literally in the middle of the burning desert in the middle of nowhere.
I was gassed by nuns. Hey, Chip. Come over here. Have a look at this.
No, I told you 1,000 times. No, 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 no.
Look at this. Candy.
But like, it's supposed to be a convent and there's like five nuns.
Yes.
And she becomes one of the nuns.
Just because she has to wait for him, she goes into becoming a nun. And then for some reason, she has punk rock poodles that she has dyed colors, and that's just with her.
Okay, here's the thing about
the poodles. One of the poodles is green.
Okay, one of the poodles is green. Two of them are black, and one of them, I believe, is white, but like colored pinkish. So they're all like punk rock poodles.
I don't know what's happening. I honestly don't. I guess we should point this out real quick, too, is that this movie only has three locations, and for some odd reason, they're all stationed around each other. So we have the nunnery, the gas station nunnery.
The nunnery gas station.
We have a in-the-middle-of-nowhere hellhole prison.
And with five inmates.
With
in
five inmates and two cops. I think I feel like there's like a couple more inmates than five, but yes, it's virtually Hogan's Heroes in the middle of nowhere. And then there's a circus? What is this?
What is the circus?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know if that was actually a circus or if that was the actual compound of the prison lit up at night.
No. She moves into the circus.
Well, it was a circus. It is now defunct.
It's not the prison, because the prison is, literally, if I say it's a triangle, it's like Bermuda Triangle.
But
there's only three locations, and they're all in that same section.
The name of the place where she moves into is called Porky's.
That's right. It's like Porky's, but it looks like a circus inside, but it like also seems to suggest that it's not a brothel, and also some kind of barbecue pit. I have no idea what it is.
Because there's a huge pig sign on it.
Yes, Porky. That's the only way. And some of the pig art is having sex.
Oh my god, I think it's a brothel. Okay, that's why it's called Porky's. Like, you know, get it.
So naturally, the prison and the nunnery are right next door to it.
Of course, so you got a prison, a nunnery, and a whorehouse. Of course,
this is the most insane, batshit crazy thing. Okay.
Oh my god.
The guy in prison, he's like finally getting out. It's been 4 years, I think.
After he committed the robbery, so it's 4 years.
We don't even know why he's in. He's just in.
But he's in prison. This prison in the middle of nowhere. It's not even a prison.
And she went to a nunnery right next door to the prison and waited for him. And then when she gets a note from him, she gets a note that's in the mail or something. I don't know how he got it out. I didn't know this, by the way, either. One of the nuns is mute. I didn't know she was mute. I just thought that she just didn't speak because she didn't know what to say. And then all of us were told later on, oh, she was mute the whole time. I'm like,
I didn't even know.
I mean, but she gives her a note and it's like, I'm getting out of jail any day. And she's like, yay, I can leave being a nun now.
She was in this convent / gas station.
And then she goes down the block and moves in with her dogs.
And she uncovers the freaking like hot rod like convertible car.
Yes.
That she's been stashing away, and she throws off her habit and she jumps in the car with these four dogs.
She goes down the block and moves into an abandoned circus barbecue pit. I don't know what's happening, right? And here's the craziest part. The article comes out the same day is printed, and it happens to be the two guys that they super glued in the desert 4 years ago are reading it while he's trying to take a piss.
So they want to get revenge on our main character who super glued them, which is Candy. And the boyfriend that got thrown in jail is Johnny. So, of course, it's Johnny and Candy. And they're... The best part about this is the fact that she moves into this defunct barbecue pit or whorehouse or whatever it
is. She says, I need to clean it up. I need a woman's touch.
I need to clean it up.
It's a literal shithole.
It's literally like there's maybe a piece of plywood on each side. It's like there's nothing. It's like it's hysterical. But
I'm going to point this out. This actress is played by Melinda Clark. Okay, uh-huh. This Candy character is played by Melinda Clark. I have never watched the OC, but for anybody who's watched the OC, she's like a main character on that show named Julie.
Okay.
But we know her as the main female zombie in Night and the Return of the Living Dead Part 3, the punk rock zombie.
No.
So when you were talking about her being uncomfortable in this whole movie, go watch that movie.
God.
Piercing and spikes everywhere.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that I recognized her.
My funniest thing about the lead actor in this, the guy who's locked up, that is her boyfriend,
Johnny.
He was Bruce Campbell, but Bruce Campbell dropped out at the last moment.
Oh, thank God!
No, I wish it was Bruce Campbell, Doug Bradley, and Robert Englund all doing dumb things together.
But this though. I mean,
I would have loved it. And by the way, I guess Bill Moseley wasn't available at the time because there's a guy who looks exactly like him in the jail with him. I was like, is that Bill Mosley?
In this jail in the middle of nowhere, yeah, which with is, bunk beds in one room.
It's a shack with bunk beds.
Okay. No bars, nothing.
All right, so she moves into the circus, and now we have to cut over to the jail and explain that. Okay, so Robert Englund, he is wearing a wig as well.
Oh my God, it's the worst hairpiece. It's
like a Hitler, blonde Hitler wig. And he is going to town in this film. I mean, he is having a ball.
He's really having the time of his life. I mean, he just picture him, like, how much fun he had with his one-liners as Freddy Krueger. This is, like, next level.
Next level.
Next level.
His whole deal is that he loves beating these guys up because he's secretly in love with them all.
Reed. Fuck you, sir. Reed, you just can't stand the fact that I'm gonna be a free man and you gotta live in this shithole for the rest of your life. Now, Reed, again. Fuck me, sir. Yes, fuck you. It says fuck you. That's what it says today. That's what it'll say tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. I'm gonna make you blow it big time. And you know why? Because you belong here with Papa.
That's his joke. He has one other guard with him.
There's one other guard, and now, mind you, there's like at least five inmates, okay, in bunk beds on this tiny little shack, right? If they wanted to escape, it would not be hard at all, because all they had to do was clunk Robert Englund over the head and dip. So I mean, take the Jeep and dip.
They secretly like it. That's what it seems like to me, because at one point, the main guy named Johnny actually just hangs out with Robert Englund.
It's hysterical. I'm like, they're all more like roommates instead.
It's like it's all a thing that they're all into. Getting like beat up by each other.
Living in a hostel or something.
Yes. And
oh my God.
I mean, it's so wild because there's a scene where he tells Doug Bradley that he's going to electrocute his balls off. And then later on in the movie, they're like, you know what, boss, I really liked hanging out with you. And I'm like, what the? He almost blew your balls off at one point.
Oh my God.
Mr. Wig, you've won. Yes. Mr. Wig wins lottery. Let's give special thanks for donating his precious balls to the common good. 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, we have to get to the part of that creates the whole tone for this movie, which is the asteroid.
An asteroid comes down and it somehow shoots particles into their soup that the girl has made at the circus.
So,
and she's feeding all the dogs the same soup.
So yeah, the dogs are all sitting at the table. The four dogs and the chick are sitting at the table eating soup. And the particles from the asteroid that lands outside in the desert actually shoot through the window and land in their food.
And she instantly turns into like the Matrix. She gets a black latex suit across her body. Her hair turns curly black, and now she has a killer tongue that's a living organism inside of her body.
This thing is like ridiculous. It's super long. It's I don't know, what would you call this? A puppet? Are they controlling
this
thing?
Yeah, it's a puppet.
It is super long. And
well, yeah.
The four dogs, we were confused at this scene.
I actually forgot the dogs existed because we just see four guys.
Four guys with collars around their
all
neck.
All laying on each other and having a montage of her freaking out. And I was like, who are these people? Where are we?
I was going to ask you, I was like, did this just become like a... like an orgy?
That's what I was like, is this a part of the circus?
Did I miss a scene?
We actually said four times. This is the circus, right? Are these the people who work at the circus? Are these the carnies?
Yeah, the trapeze act or high wire act or something.
What is happening?
Because they didn't have any shirts on and they were just there with collars on. And then we realized that those are the fucking dogs.
We had no idea.
They turn into humans after eating particles of the asteroid. So what happens?
Can you tell everybody who the one male dog turned into?
Okay, so there's three female dogs, and they turn into drag queens.
Yes.
Okay. But the one male dog, his name is Rudolph, and I did not notice this. You had to point it out, but it is Jonathan Rhys Meyers, who played Elvis Presley.
Yeah, he was okay. In Mission Impossible.
He's in Mission Impossible.
I think he was nominated once, wasn't he? I don't even remember. He was on a show called The Tudors, I believe.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw it instantly. I was like, holy shit.
He was 19 years old at the time of this film, and I was flabbergasted. Oh. I could not believe that was him. And I was
every
like,
scene in the movie with him is just batshit crazy.
Yeah, so he's the only one that's not a drag queen. But it's funny because when the poodles turn into humans, they still have elements of poodle, the hair. So they kept elements, the human beings as drag queens kept elements of the poodles. So what's happening here is the shards of the asteroid, just to recap real quick so you're not confused.
Because we're confused. I have no clue.
The asteroid lands outside of the barbecue / whorehouse / carnival.
Women in the night, Joe.
Whatever. And the particles from the asteroid land in the soup. They eat the soup, the dogs and the chick. The chick gets a cartoonishly long tongue, and the dogs turn into drag queens.
Yeah. And what I love about this, the only reason they become drag queens is they find an entire suitcase in like a bondage room where they start pulling out outfits and they're so excited and they all become drag queens. And then I was like, what the fuck is happening? Because she even falls on a spinning bed of with a mirror above it. So that's when I knew this has to be some kind of like prostitution place. I don't know what this place was.
Prostitution place.
What, a brothel.
Whorehouse.
Well, I'm trying to be a polite gentleman.
A woman of the night.
Yes, a woman of the night house.
A woman of the night.
It could be a day house. Home? We don't know. A woman of the day. We have no idea what this is. Oh, it was some kind of pig porking theme.
Oh, Jesus.
Is what this place is, with a giant face on the front of the building. I don't know what's going on.
It's a huge pig face.
So, okay. So what happens next is that we get to see a scene after scene of this woman's tongue flying her around and her trying to fight it. And she has to actually fight her tongue. And so this actress has to have a prosthetic sticking out of her mouth. And by the way, it has three fingers. It uses two of them as eyes and the other one is a mouth. And later on in the film, it starts talking to her. And it for some reason, it talks like
Harvey Weinstein.
Is it Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
No, not Harvey Weinstein. That's the rapist.
No. Harvey Firestein. Harvey Firestein. Shit. Harvey Firestein. The one from...
Oh, God. From ID4.
Yeah, ID4.
It's like, hey, I can hear everything you're saying buddy.
I think that was Robert Englund. Wasn't it doing a voice?
No, I actually saw someone's name on there, but I have no idea who it is.
You have to see this movie to see what we're talking about. This is... I can't even describe it. No, everyone needs to see this movie. We should not have to be subjected to this alone.
Oh, my God.
Well, 1,400 others have been subjected to it.
Yes.
What more do you expect from a tongue?
There's a fight sequence where she fights her tongue because her tongue seems to only live off of killing people. And so what happens is the guy from the opening that's super glued saw the damn article with the nuns at the gas station and he drives there. For some reason, the other guy disappears.
Yeah.
And I was like, where did he go? And he just goes, he's in a full, first off, he's driving like this beautiful yellow Mustang and he is dressed like a cowboy all of a sudden. And he shows up at the nun's place to get gas, but to ask where this girl is. And what happens here is some of the craziest shit. I mean,
it's
this movie,
next level.
He actually puts the gas station the pump in his mouth and blows it.
I I feel like, so he's, okay, this, the whole purpose of this scene is because he's trying to find Candy so he can, you know, enact his revenge on her for what she did to him, gluing his lips to another man and all that.
And okay. The mute one is the one pumping the gas.
And the mute one, the mute nun, is pumping the gas. But for some reason, she's not answering him because obviously she's mute. But for some reason, he gets super, like, out of his mind and... he starts trying to intimidate her into talking by putting the nozzle of the gas pump in his mouth.
And I guess you can guess what happens here. They shoot the gas in his mouth and all over him while he's blowing it.
I was baffled by this scene.
Like, I was in shock.
Now, there's a lot of like...
I gasped. I had never seen anything like that before.
The sexual undertones in this movie are... well, no, ridiculous.
I wrote that. One of the notes I wrote here was, everything is an orgasm.
Everything.
Everybody is orgasming, like, all the
even
time.
Even the nun, when she's praying, is orgasming. Okay. It's really...
when the asteroid comes down, she, for some... there's a sequence where she is praying, and she knows somehow that she's attached to some kind of spiritual thing where she can feel the asteroid coming. And I guess this is some kind of Lovecraftian thing because it's even like that color from space rock. It's a glowing pink and everything. Her praying is a straight orgasm. I had to turn down the volume multiple times because I'm like, oh, our neighbors think some crazy stuff's going on in this house.
They think we're having a potty.
Over and over. She is orgasming while she's praying. I didn't understand what was happening. And it's only that she knows it's coming there.
Yeah, it's like she had a premonition or something.
Something. They don't tell you a damn thing.
No.
And she kind of goes, when the guy comes looking for Candy, they kind of point, all the nuns come out and threaten him. And he goes to, like, he just somehow finds her. So yeah. Now he comes in the door and her first thing is like, she's like, I need help, right? And so she's freaking out because she has a tongue monster in her, and she's become Mia Yosevich in the Resident Evil films.
Yovovich.
Fuck that. Yosevich. She becomes her, and she's like, help me, help me.
I had to
this
move
guy.
Away from the mic. I'm sorry.
Who cares? She comes in the house, and he comes in the place and says, for some reason, he knows that she moved into the Porky's house. I don't know why, but he comes in, and now he's like, bitch, I want my money. And then the first thing, she's like, I need help, and she starts making out with him. And he's like, now I'm on board, and we're going to hook up, and we're going to live together. I don't know what's happening. The next scene is literally him taking a bath, and she is like going nuts, and she's like, needs to kill. I don't know why, but she comes in there, and now her tongue comes out while he's in the bathtub, and he has a towel over his eyes, and he's like, you can cook for me, or something like that, because she's like, I can't cook, I'm sorry.
The sweet smell of home cooking.
I'm sorry, but I need help. Please help me. I don't know what to do. Please help me.
Sure you do, sweetheart. Look, this is what we're going to do. You take a frying pan and you put in some extra virgin olive oil. Crush a clove of garlic and chop up an onion. Put it on a low heat and let it sweat for about 5 minutes. Meanwhile, chop up some big, fat, juicy tomatoes. Well, under the circumstances, canned will do.
And the tongue goes in the water and fucking licks his nutsack.
I was so baffled by this scene. Because, first of all, the idea of her even trying to cook an egg for him was hysterical. Why are you cooking for him? He's come here to, like, kill
and
you.
How do they have food?
And how do they have food? That's number one, also. But, like, can I just say that this scene is... I feel at one point that his penis popped out of the water. Did you notice it?
I didn't know what I was looking at.
I feel like this actor was really getting off from this.
I mean...
I think he was. Something was down there tickling his balls.
Take me, baby.
Can we... That's not enough. Because the tongue goes back in before he can see it. Because he gets off. He takes the towel off and goes, I'm all in, baby. Come and get me. So she jumps in the water. And they start making out. But her tongue shoots down his throat. Out his asshole. Through the ground of the bathtub.
It's quite astounding.
Yes. I was like, this is insane. I just could, every sequence, I was like, what?
I wish we were doing it.
It's not, we're making it sound even cooler or insane, but it's just shot after shot of insanity.
This movie is, I mean, it's next level. It's like one after the other of just crazy things. Like, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, because we're doing it in like in a way where it sounds like it's actually happening in order. What we're getting is her killing this guy, that nun orgasming, and then Robert Englund shooting and beating up this one guy in jail. And it's just like over and over scenes of this.
And the whole premise of this is because, so Johnny is supposed to be getting out of jail in 4 days. So he's supposed to be meeting up with Candy.
And I think that the thing is that Robert Englund's character won't let him leave.
No, because I think Robert Englund's character is in love with Johnny.
Yes, big time.
And he doesn't want him to go. So he's trying everything in his power to keep him in prison.
I think so.
Really, it's a series of bunk beds. This is not a prison. It's hysterical. It's so comical. But the best thing is that there's no rhyme or reason to anything that's happening in this movie. It's not supposed to, obviously.
Multiple times we kept saying, who is that? What is happening?
Yeah.
Because randomly the dogs go find people, and one of the people is one of the nuns?
Yeah, so they're bringing food, which is humans, for the tongue to eat, because he needs to feed, which is weird, because I don't understand, why did she get a crazy long killer tongue?
And the other ones
dogs turn into humans.
Don't understand
this. How does this work? So then Johnny is trying to get back to Candy, and he's like in the burning desert. And
oh, that's a way later. Yeah, because a lot happens because he's actually taken out to the desert to get killed, apparently, by the other officer, while Robert Englund is staying with the rest of the prisoners. And they find the meteor.
Yeah, they find the meteor.
And one guy goes over to the meteor. And he goes, we don't see it because it's off scene, off shot, I mean, of the scene. And we only see Johnny walking over, and we hear this guy orgasming. And then he just explodes all over him. And then what we find out is a pickaxe has flown into Johnny's chest.
That sounded funny. You said, sounds like he's orgasming. And then he just explodes all over him.
And honestly, that's exactly what the movie meant. That is for really, that to happen. That happens throughout the movie, though.
When you're saying that he explodes, his whole body literally combusts and explodes.
Just guts everywhere.
Guts everywhere. And Johnny flies back. And then we see Johnny with a pickaxe in his chest.
Yes. So
he's dying. I was like, they can't kill Johnny this early on.
And I think they somehow he gets handcuffed to the bumper.
No. So what happens is the mute nun,
oh my God,
finds him in the desert that he's dying. She goes over to the meteor and clunks off a piece of the
meteor. Yeah, because for some reason she has a power of not being able to touch it. But by the way, before that happens, she gets somehow taken by the dogs as well and then put into the Virgin Mary prostitute outfit.
Yeah, I don't know why
they give her a makeover. They do her hair, like a
whole makeover. But she finds Johnny in the desert, and
after that,
because
she's in that outfit.
She's it's ridiculous, and she takes a pickaxe out of his chest and rubs some pixie dust from the freaking meteor in his chest and heals him.
We have to say this. The only reason she's like on board with the dog people, and the only reason she leaves is because she watches the killer tongue kill somebody, and they handcuff her to a bed, and somehow she takes the whole bed out into the desert, and that's how when she finds Johnny. She's got a whole bed, and then she handcuffs him to the bumper.
Yeah, why did she do that?
I don't know.
She put the meteor dust in his wound and it healed him. Now, I don't know how, I guess it's based on the person of how this thing is going to react to people, because the meteor you know, makes a killer tongue, turns dogs into drag queens, and
heals people. Yeah.
But why didn't Johnny turn into some, like, you know, like killer body part or something? You know?
It's like, because why? They ate the asteroid? I don't.
Because they ate it?
Because it went in the soup and they ate it?
But
I have no idea.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They should make everyone mutate.
When she's healing him, Robert Englund has been waiting for them to communicate back that what's going on with Johnny. And Doug Bradley sets up some kind of system and it somehow plays over the speaker system when he's getting healed. So Robert Englund hears him getting healed, which is full orgasm.
This whole movie is just sexual undertones.
So Robert Englund is freaking out like, damn you, Johnny.
And like he cheated.
Yeah, damn you.
He cheated on him.
Doug Bradley's up on some kind of telephone pole and he falls down and his wig comes off and Robert Englund's like, fuck you. And he shoots his wig. And I love later on.
They're both wearing terrible hairpieces.
That's a whole thing.
Like, why?
Doug Bradley has a picture on the wall of his wigs. They're framed wigs.
No more Mr. Nice Guy!
It's next level.
But isn't Doug Bradley one of the fucking prisoners?
Yes.
How does he have a whole framed wig collection?
Robert Englund takes off his wig later on and gives it to a pigeon. And that's like a plot point where the pigeon is given a nest because it has a hurt wing. And we find out Robert Englund is actually like a nice guy. And then,
although he's not. Like
nuts, I don't know what this is.
And then he ends up shooting the fucking bird.
Later on, okay, one of the funniest moments is that...
I swear I've lost my whole mind. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know
what scene to talk about first because she fights her tongue a few times. And
she tries to kill herself.
She tries to kill herself. That's when it starts talking.
Yeah, it starts talking. Because
it's like, come on, baby, you can't die.
We're together in this. This is our life.
Oh, don't give up on me. I don't know why it just turned into Sling Blade.
French fried potatoes.
Mm-hmm. So she fights
it. I'm gonna keep going on the freaking quotes.
Oh my god!
Stop me.
She fights it. There's a fight where the tongue is punching her in the face. It is so funny to watch. It wraps up into the ceiling, and she actually has to cut it with a knife. And every time, by the way, there's a thing where people shoot red smoke out. Every time that the thing is in them, I have no idea what's going on there. And that's when people explode after the red smoke comes out of them. But the tongue can heal everybody. And after this, the tongue and the girl get pretty much along because they have sex.
The tongue coming out of the girl's mouth impregnates her.
And there is an entire sequence and she is impregnated.
The tongue impregnates her.
Harvey Fierstein's like voice is coming out of this tongue.
Oh my god.
And it's like, we're gonna be a family.
Oh my god. So we don't ever get to see it.
We don't get to see it. That's a weird thing that never gets explained. And okay, oh my god. She gets very angry because Johnny finds that girl after he's healed, he's able to break off the bumper and he finds the nun on the bed
and she's still shackled to the bed
and she's shackled to the bed
one hand,
so naturally Johnny just has sex with her.
Do they? Because he said it.
They have sex.
He said he's not having sex with her when Candy finds them in the desert.
He's like, you know, it's that whole thing. No, like, it's like, an accident.
No, he says it's not what you think.
It's not what you think. Clearly, they're full humping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't understand it. Like, his hand touches. I said, was that her crotch? Because all of a sudden he gets healed because he was shot in the leg at one point.
Yeah, now he's all better.
Because so, she was touching her.
She has some kind of healing because of this meteor that she took a piece of it.
She's carrying around like a helmet.
And she's got the meteor in the helmet.
Now, okay, this is one of those sequences that made me laugh because she goes after Robert Englund basically told her, like, I guess at one point she's looking for him. And Robert Englund's like, he hooked up with another woman. Right. And she leaves and she's like, no. Right. No, what happened? This was running. This is one of the sequences where she goes nuts. She's like, I need Johnny. So Robert Englund is like all about the bird. And she slams the door in this whole moment where he's like going to say something. It comes out of nowhere. The door just hits him in the face and he shoots his ear off.
So he is sleeping with a gun because, you know, they're violent inmates that he has in bunk beds in one little tiny shack of a room.
Yeah.
So he's sleeping with a gun and she hits him with the door when she opens it and he accidentally shoots his ear off. Yeah,
we thought he was dead in here. And the inmates go nuts because they're so excited that he's dead is what they're saying. But then they start stripping Robert Englund. And that's when we find out that he has painted targets around his nipples.
No, they painted targets
on
his
did.
Nipples.
Okay.
Yeah, they were like trying to like defile his corpse.
And then
thought he was dead.
Two of the guys try to rape the girl, but this is one of the good gore sequences.
Oh, so good.
The tongue shoots through this guy's back of his head while she's making out with him. And it goes through the back of his head and then grabs the balls of another guy.
And rips the balls off. So that was good. We didn't get to see the balls flying out. But we got the head ripping scene.
I don't know how they did some of these because it's all starting from her mouth.
Yeah.
So how they're doing them, it's pretty damn cool sometimes. Yeah. I'm like that.
It was
looks
pretty neat.
Pretty neat for a low budget film.
Yeah.
But the Doug Bradley and the rest of the inmates go, well, let's get the hell out of here. And they run off. But that's when she walks in the desert because she's like that two-timing guy, he's cheating on me, whatever. And then she comes upon them having sex in the middle of the desert on the bed.
I still don't think they were having sex, but, I mean,
there's
looked like it.
There's a part where he's humping her.
Right? It looked like it.
And they're full orgasming again, and she can now speak.
This whole movie is like one big orgasm.
It's everybody's doing it. This is one of my favorite jokes. She just goes, you know, like, screw you, and she kicks the bed, and it's on wheels, and it perfectly rolls down the mountain. I was like, holy shit, did they just kill these two people?
And they're like hung over the side, hanging on for dear life.
It's like a Looney Tunes movie. They survived because of the bumper that he's attached to. But we kept saying, wasn't she attached to the bed?
She was. And then her shackle was totally gone. So she just like...
This actress has to wear this thing.
I mean, it's literally...
in the middle of the desert.
What it looks like she's wearing is like...
It's like vinyl,
like vinyl toilet paper. If that's the only way to describe it,
it's
like
all,
a sheet around her body. I mean,
are you talking about the tongue woman? I'm talking about the nun.
No, I'm talking about the nun. Yeah, it's like vinyl toilet paper. It's got a little bit of some kind of like lace on the bottom, but it's literally just covering her nipples.
Yeah, she's in high. Like platform boots.
Thigh-high platform lace-up vinyl boots.
Yeah.
That's what she's wearing
and
in the desert.
They have a camera like at the edge of the cliff and she has to climb up and literally like put her ass in the camera. And I would just like, I feel bad for
both actresses in this movie.
I just
because the one
it.
Actress is wearing basically a fruit roll-up. I mean, it was painted on.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a wonderful figure.
If that's really her body, we couldn't tell.
Well, it was her body.
The boobs aren't moving, so it's like...
Well, no, if you look closely, and I was, they actually put... You know those like little devil horn hair clips that sometimes the girls wear? They actually glued those devil horns on her nipples. So it looked like they were pointy.
Oh,
I was looking.
I see.
Yeah, I was looking because I wanted to see how they did that.
You were really looking.
I was really looking.
And I was
You can
really
hardly
looking.
See them nipples.
Yeah.
But like, seriously, that's what they did. But that outfit was painted on. It was literal. I mean, it looked like paint.
Yeah.
It was just something you get at a bondage store.
Yeah. But now, I guess this is something I have to mention. Johnny and her survived that girl. And that's when the tongue and the woman has the tongue in her. That's when they just go, you know what? We're going to be a family. We're going to be together. I'm all about you. They have another sex scene where they're laying in bed, almost smoking cigarettes side by side.
Oh my God.
The tongue is out of her mouth and on a pillow next to her.
Now, this is supposed to be funny, okay? This is supposed to be funny. But I just think I was, at this point in the movie, I was like, okay, I've had enough of this. Yeah.
And we were getting commercial breaks, so we were getting...
Yeah, I was like, this movie's taking 3 hours now, we're done.
Each commercial was like gonorrhea. It was like, oh, what is this? Like a medical... What is this? It was like every time was like, oh, you have a tumor. I'm like, what the hell?
Your eyes will be bleeding blood, but you won't have eczema anymore.
I can't even get a good commercial. We have to get the worst commercials.
It's always the people dancing sunshiny, having a great time.
Toon Blast, but in Spanish for some reason, or an alien selling Toon Blast. What is this? I don't even know.
So it took us a long time to get through this movie. So by this point in the movie, I was done. I was like, okay,
but
what is going to happen now?
So everything that happens next is the most baffling thing you've ever seen ever. Robert Englund wakes up and he bandages his head up.
It's hysterical.
He can't take the pigeon. So he shoots it. Okay. And then he goes off to get revenge on her for killing Johnny.
He thinks that Johnny is
dead. And he's like, I have to kill that bitch. So he goes after her and everything's supposed to be fine. And when he finds them. He knows somehow where they are.
Scotty, there's only three buildings in the freaking whole desert.
Oh my God.
So it's got to be one of them.
They find, and by the way, the other guy from the opening of the movie shows up. And he's like, hey, you know, he hasn't called me in a long time. And he shows up. And the then guy he that gets he, killed.
The guy that he got his lips super glued to the other guy.
Yeah. And by the way, that's, oh my God. He's got a running plot line where he can't piss. So he finds the meteor in the middle of nowhere and pisses on it.
And he blows up.
And he's so happy and he orgasms during it. And then he blows up.
Which is funny because, like, you would think that, you know, that's like a bond, you know, like the meteor is being peed on. It's like, isn't that like kind of like a bond? So maybe he should also get some kind of superpower. But no, he
was getting healed because he said, I can finally get a boner. And he blows up. Now, Doug Bradley and the rest of the prisoners also find the meteor and touch it and have an orgasm circle around it. And the only reason Doug Bradley doesn't get killed is one of the other guys explodes and pushes him off. And he just leaves.
But then he finds
Robert Englund.
He goes, I mean, honestly, he has a one-way ticket out of town. He's in the Jeep. He stole the Jeep from Robert Englund. And he could just easily just drive away. But no, he stops.
He's trapped in the Bermuda Triangle. He's just fucking... Okay. Robert Englund just... finds them and goes to shoot them and has like this whole fight. When he walks in the door, again, I laugh my ass off because he trips. Mm-hmm. But when he trips, we find out that he tripped on the guy's decapitated head and he had his foot in his mouth. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, this is so insane. I'm pretty sure he shoots the one dog, but he seems to be fine in every scene after this.
Yeah, he gets shot. Jonathan Rhys Meyers gets shot in the leg.
And he's fine in the next sequence. I don't know what happened. I guess he gets healed from the tongue. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't stay fine for long.
But Johnny shows up in the house. And he teams up with Robert Englund, who should be his enemy because he was going to kill him.
Right.
And now they're like, Johnny, we got to work together and kill this bitch.
Yeah, we have a worse enemy.
Yeah. And the nun is like, don't go in there, because now the nun and the guy are like hooked up. So they're like, they like each other. But now she's like, don't go, Johnny. And he's like, that's my woman in there. They see the tongue and he goes, this is one of my favorite things about this movie. He keeps saying, that's my girlfriend. And then he keeps punching the shit out of her.
Yep. You know, it's...
I wanted him to say, I love that bitch.
I know. But so after this scene, they all just run next door to the
church.
The church with the nunnery. The nunnery.
There's a chase. There's a chase. They have a car chase. And in this scene, if you pay attention, it doesn't make any sense what's happening. Because
no.
In the shot,
Robert Englund staring outside the window because they're chasing him in another car. So we have the nun, Robert Englund, and Johnny in one car. Then we have the poodles and the tongue woman in the other car chasing them. And Robert Englund staring at them, shotgun. He's like, let's kill him. Let's take him a full on. But if you see in the shot, there's another car in front of them coming at them.
Yes.
And that car disappears.
Well, that's because that's the car that the director's in.
Apparently. Because he says they're coming right for us, but he's never there. Oh, how did we miss this? We forgot about this. I'm so mad. I wanted to bring it up before. We were talking about the guy blowing the gas station pump.
Yeah.
Before he gets killed and goes up and finds candy and the whole thing happens, there's a sequence for no reason. He rams his Mustang. I left my... This.
Oh my God, I forgot about this scene too.
He just stops his Mustang in the middle of the road, sees a car coming, and decides to, in reverse, ram the car, and it makes the driver fly out of the car.
Through the window and land on his car.
And then when the guy gets out of the car, he's naked. And then he takes that guy's clothes, and then we have to see him naked too. I was like, what is happening?
There's so much in this movie that makes you go, what the fuck? You have no idea how much in this movie. The whole entire thing is like, you just can't believe what you're seeing.
It's like it wants to be Peter Jackson, like a Peter Jackson horror comedy from the early 90s. But it's never as funny. Like, right. Peter Jackson always making it funny.
There's no reason for him to be naked. It's like he just gets out of the car completely naked.
Because it's baffling. I don't even know what's happening in each scene. But they all set up shop at the church. By the way, for some odd reason in the church, there's a flying
Jesus. It's a Jesus. It's on some ropes,
yeah,
and like hanging there, which they use as a freaking prop like twice in this movie.
Yeah.
So
I don't understand anything that happens in this church sequence because everybody just starts to explode. They show up to fight them, and I don't know what happens, but he sees a tank of water. Doug Brayley shows up here, and he's like, "Hey, that woman's your girlfriend's crazy. She's got a killer tongue, right?" And they're just like, no. And then I love this. For some reason, Robert Englund goes, no, we can't leave. It's Johnny's mission or something like that. We have to follow Johnny.
Johnny has to deal with this bitch.
He sees a tank of water and shoots it. And do they bless it?
So,
is that what's happening here?
Okay, so no. What happens is the tank blows up and it floods the church. But the nun, which we'll call her the sexy nun now because she looks like a porn star. So she throws the shard that she took from the meteor in the water and it blows up the dogs. They die.
All the poodles come in, they all blow up.
Yeah. Though that are now drag queens.
And she escapes it, the killer tongue, she escapes it by jumping in the air and flying around, but she like lands on the crucifix.
Yeah, well, she first grabs the flying Jesus and that kind
propels
of trapezes her over to the other thing where she's like literally Spider-Man jumping on the walls to get away from the water, because if she steps in the water then she's going to blow up too because the meteor is in there.
And for some odd reason in the confessional is Doug Bradley and Robert Englund with their foreheads against each other and they've made up, they're like friends, I don't know why, and they just blow up.
They blow up. But here's the thing, I don't understand, if you were not personally affected by this meteor, why are you blowing up? Because Robert Englund and Doug Bradley weren't affected in any way. Like, they didn't grow any body parts that are like killer body parts. And
they
also
should have grown, when they touched it, they should have grew hair.
Oh my God.
That would have been funny because that was like a plot for them.
Yeah. But here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
I know. I know.
Okay. Anyway, the thing that doesn't make sense in this scene is that the nun throws the shard onto the water and they all blow up, the ones that were affected by it. But the meteor affected them in a different way. So, like, I don't understand. They're already affected by the meteor.
Yeah.
So why would it affect them in that way? Like, why would it blow them up?
I don't know anything that's going on.
It doesn't make any sense. But the nuns are fine. They're standing in the water, too. Did you notice that? They don't get blown up.
That's why I thought they blessed it. Like all the sinners were blowing up.
Oh, I guess that could be it. Maybe. Maybe it was the holy water.
Johnny beats the shit out of his girlfriend.
Yeah, he does. And then the other nun, they sexy shoot nun, the... stabs the tongue.
Yeah.
Stabs the tongue and, like, severs it.
And I think he shoots it. And then it kills, and then she turns back to normal.
Yeah, she turns back to normal.
When he sees her turn back to normal, this is one of my favorite moments, again, she turns back to normal. She's on the floor, like, crying, like, help me. And he just goes back to the hug of another nun and just like, eh, like, this is my girl now.
Yeah, well, I'm done with you. You put me through some shit.
Like, she can talk now. I guess yeah, I healed her. Yeah, she wasn't
mute anymore, so yeah. She's healed.
I thought maybe the sex heal. I didn't know what was happening there.
Oh, my God.
And then we didn't say this, by the way, because that's literally that scene. And we didn't even talk about the tongue learning how to tie diapers.
Okay, there's so many
sequences. Like,
it's in between everything we're talking about. Literally, there was a scene of silliness. So you could just imagine, if you think that what we're talking about is silly, there's even more silliness in between.
There's like a whole thing about the dogs wrapping a guy in toilet paper, and then they put him in a refrigerator and they feed him somehow.
I think he was a leftover. He was going to be fed to the freaking tongue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of the nuns got killed. The amount of
like silliness that goes on in this, like, you're just, you can't fathom it. Like,
it's like brain rot.
Like, seriously, I mean, what we're talking about is brain rot.
It is. And we didn't even say this, because right after the scene where she gets turned back into a human, and then the nun and the guy are just like, screw my old girlfriend, we're together now. We have a bookend, which we didn't mention. The movie starts and ends with this bookends where the candy is laying in bed and telling this story.
With like a haze over the film, like it's some kind of a dramatic moment.
And
like,
everything she says is the most insane thing. And it happens at the end again.
Yep.
And she says, well, I'm going to be a mother.
And they cut away, like slowly pan away from her, and she's pregnant. So the tongue impregnated her with, obviously, a baby tongue. I have no idea what's in there.
I thought it was going to end with the birth, and then it was just like, nah.
I feel like we should have seen it. After they put us through this whole thing, I feel like they should have let us see it.
Yeah, at least have a jump scare tongue thing as a joke.
Yeah.
Like the baby tongue.
Yeah. This movie, it was trying really hard to be like funny, like, you know, like in The Evil Dead and stuff like that, but it just didn't land. It didn't hit. Most of the time it was just like facepalmy and just kind of like, okay. Like, it tried to outdo itself in every scene, which there were a lot of scenes where we're like, you know?
Yeah. This one was I'm on the fence because, like I said, everything I hate about the 90s, it's just like the way it was shot, the way that the director is like oversaturating in color or trying to get arty shots, trying so hard to rip off other things that he likes. And trying to be funny by being, like, risque, I guess. Yeah. It's just, I see so much of that in the indie 90s scene that I'm just like, God, it was just polluted with, like, ideas. Now I guess the pollution is, like, Netflix just comes out with something every week. And they're just like, let everybody make something. And that's how the 90s was with filmmaking. It was just like, sure, do this. And that's why, like, on the fence, but I'm like, I hate everything about this. And then on the other hand, I'm like, talk about a diamond in the rough. This is the most odd thing I've watched in a while.
Yeah, it was where beyond.
I was like, this is so bad, it's good, right? And then I was like, is it? It might suck, like really bad. So I'm on the fence. What would you say?
Score-wise?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not so bad, it's good.
It feels like it's right on there.
It's almost so bad, it's good, because there were some moments where I was laughing. I couldn't help it. But ultimately, this is a 3. I don't think it's so bad, it's good. It was just trying too hard. And, I mean, there were some things about it that were interesting. But for the most part, like, the characters were silly. I mean, Robert Englund was definitely the highlight. He chewed the scenery. He was funny. And he was just hamming it up and just true Robert Englund.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Huh?
you know?
He was funny, though.
Yeah. But he was funny. You know, we had two horror icons. Doug Bradley didn't really have much to do. But I'm just going to give this a 3. It was not good.
I feel like you're right. I think the 4, because there are scenes in here where I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And I feel like people need to see scenes from this movie because it's so insane. But at the same time, I'm like, it is terrible, though. And I don't know how much of that was affected by us watching it with commercials.
I mean, no, it didn't affect.
Because those gaps, if we just watched it straight, the insanity, would we have come out laughing more?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think the commercials, we've watched things on Bad Movie Night with commercials. It doesn't change it. It doesn't. I mean, unless the movie is like so lame that there's nothing going on. This movie was not nothing going on. I mean, there was something going on every minute.
Yeah.
It was very action packed. So the commercials didn't take me out of it. But
I think I'm going to agree with you on
that. I think that it's a 3. And there's actually a 10-star review.
Oh my. Was it written by the tongue?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I better perfect my technique. Or he's going to be flapping around diaperless. His little shiny red butt exposed to the world. He's going to be just like his daddy.
I mean, it's Sick Boy. That's the name of the person.
Of course, yeah, that makes sense.
But anyway, my segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I'll read out two extremes of online reviews, a 10-star and a 1-star review on IMDb, as proof that people can't review movies and they mess it up for everybody. So this 10 out of 10, I'm not sure it, you know, popped it over in the rating. I don't know. But I'm just going to read out little snippets of this because it's ridiculous. Wow, what a movie. This is strictly for the B-movie lovers only. All you namby-pamby Julia Roberts movie-going public should just stick to renting that piece of trash Steel Magnolias again while the rest of us enjoy great flicks like this. Okay, well, you're an idiot because Steel Magnolias is a good movie. Anyway, I get a kick out of the reviewers that rented this and expected high cinema. Hello, McFly. It's a movie called Killer Tongue. This person. Anyways, all right, I'm going to skip around. So he says, I got a huge kick out of Robert Englund and Doug Bradley towards the end when Robert tells Doug, I like you better with the natural look. A great inside reference about the pinhead makeup. Okay. Anyway,
I like you better without the makeup.
Yeah. So
I don't think he said that.
I like you better with the natural look. That's when his toupee flew off.
He was talking about that. He was bald.
Yeah.
He liked it better like without the wig.
Right.
This guy, that's reaching.
Right. And so then the end of this review says, so if you want something different, then by all means, check this out. If you haven't even seen A Nightmare on Elm Street or a Hellraiser movie, please proceed to the Julia Roberts aisle of the video store.
Oh, jeez.
All right, first of all, get over your Julia Roberts hate.
I wrote this review, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Like, I can't take it. I just can't. First of all, it's not a 10, you fool. Okay? It's not a 10. I don't even care. If you like it, that's fine. Give it a 3 or a 4. Or even a 5 if you want to go that high. But it's not a fucking 10. A 10 is a perfect movie. This thing is a piece of trash.
5 tongues.
God damn it. And there's one. There's a lot of 1-stars.
Yeah. I sent you one.
Oh, let me read yours.
I just sent you a blurb I found on the wiki. Okay. Link, which made me laugh, and I thought you would laugh at it.
Yeah, so this is by Michael DeKina of themoviereport.com. He says, sometimes you can know a stinker from its title. And indeed, something by the name of Killer Tongue has crap written all over it.
That made me laugh. I love that was the one that they had on the wiki.
Well, that's well said. I don't need to read a 1-star review now. I can't. Does
this go on our list? Because we're saying this is not the worst movie ever made.
No, it's a 3.
But do you think it deserves to get put on here? I mean, it probably does because there's things we've watched that aren't that bad.
What do we got on number 10?
Oh, geez. Number 10 is Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
This was better than Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Agreed. Is this better than Evil Bong?
No.
You like Evil Bong better?
Yes.
All right, what about Leprechaun Back to the Hood?
I would rather watch Back to the Hood.
All right, I'm going to put this at number 14 on our list.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. I wanted to point this out, too. We got two movies back to back of a person having the killer, you know, body part and then fighting it. Last week, we got Michael Caine fighting his hand. And then this week, we got a woman fighting her tongue.
Which I will say, the hand was less action-packed than this. 100%.
I mean, that's why I'm a little shocked that we're going so low, but man, wow. So I don't think next week, because next week on this show, we are going to watch a movie called Killer Eye. Now, I'm sure it's just like an alien type of eyeball that's like just sitting in the room and controlling people. I don't know if someone would be punching it, but I hope so.
I hope it's comical, though.
I think it's going to be a porno.
I'd rather have it be a porno than an actual, like, if I have to sit through eye scenes, because I have an eye phobia thing. I don't like anything near the eyes and stuff. Like, that freaks me out. So
I think you're going to be fine. I think it's a giant eyeball.
Okay, it's a giant eyeball. Yeah. Okay, if like a mutated one, I'll take it. I'll take it. That's fine.
We could have watched The Crawling Eye. We could have watched anything on the eye one. But
yeah. Oh, you already seen The Crawling Eye.
Yeah, I grew up with it. I watched it a lot when I was a kid. I don't know why. My mom used to love it. Yeah, what else do you have to say? Didn't you take any more notes?
No, I just wrote down all the fuckery. Like, I mean, they never even went back to the nuns. Why are the nuns running a gas station? What is happening?
Why did they do a photo shoot? How did it get printed so quickly?
Why are they doing a photo shoot? Why are they pumping poodles? Gas? And why did they let her keep four poodles?
Oh my God. What is happening? So wild.
I don't understand this. Like, she stayed in that convent for 4 years waiting for her boyfriend to get out of prison. Dude, I would have been so long gone. I would have been like, peace out, homie. You can rot there for all I care. I'm out. I'm going to Vegas.
I love when he gets out. And by the way, some of the actors look exactly the same.
Yes, because they do.
Johnny looks just like the guy who is looking for her that they super glued. And then you were confused that one of the other cop was a heavier set man. Then the guy was looking for them as well with that guy.
Everybody blended in together.
Was also a heavy set. So you were like, wait, isn't that the same guy?
Yeah, the only ones that looked like different was the main girl and the drag queen.
The only reason I couldn't, some of the drag queens, I was like, I have no idea who.
Well, you could tell the ones that, because they all had their own look. Like they had, like one wore the blue and they all had their own look. Well, one looked like a housewife. You know, so you could tell them, but the guards, they all just blended in. The inmates, they just blended in, you know, so it was like our main five people, I guess, stood out.
Yeah, but even the guards, there was two guards, like the one that was going to rape her, and then there was like the guard who looked like Peter Capaldi. There was like a guy, I was like, what is that? Who, like, I don't know who anybody is. Like, we even stared at Doug Bradley for a while. Like, is that Doug Bradley?
Like, you said Doug Bradley. I'm like, there's no way. And I was like, you know what? We have one horror icon. Why not?
Yeah. They should have filled all the prisoners. Should have been somebody.
He didn't have anything.
Should have been Gunnar Hansen. And it should have been Bill Moseley.
You know, they should have done
that. I'm surprised it wasn't like a bunch of people. When hearing that they tried to get Bruce Campbell, they definitely were trying to do that.
I mean, if they did, this movie would have definitely gone up a star. Because he would have hammed it up as, you know, the main guy didn't do much.
No, he didn't do much. And there was a couple slapsticky hits on him and stuff that were supposed to happen where I was like, oh, this would have worked really well with Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I think so too. But honestly, if anyone's listening and this sounds crazy that we're talking about it, we're all over the place. Because there's only one way to be talking about this movie, and that is right out of your mind. Because that's exactly how we are. We have no idea what we just watched. This is bonkers as hell.
And I know there was like so many sequences
in there.
I can't even remember now because things just kept happening.
It was just one from start to finish, one after the other of just absolute insanity. And we just I mean, we couldn't even, if we talked about all of it, we would be here for 3 hours. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
I would like to look up the film festivals that this won on and see if anybody even was against it.
This didn't win.
They just
win.
Went, here, take that.
This didn't win nothing. I can't imagine.
I read them all.
I can't. I refuse to believe it. No one's ever heard of them film festivals. What is that? Fanta, whatever.
Well, it could have said the hubby.
What was the other one?
We know what that is.
Cornucopia? What was it?
Cornucopia.
Come on now.
Oh, my God.
It's all made up shit.
Get the cornucopia. Oh, what did you win? Oh, we finally won the cornucopia.
These 1,400 people on there, those are the cast and crew.
We won the Turkey Award and from Mr. Science Theater.
The Turkey Award, yeah. Yeah, oh, those 1,400 cast and crew and great Uncle Sal and great Aunt Terry.
It made me laugh. We went to the Joe Bob Jamboree and we gave out the hubby. And I was like, they gave it to the movie. I was like, no way. It's this movie. There's no way this movie wins. But I don't know. I can only imagine what was against it. Now I kind of want to look it up.
You're going to have to fall down the rabbit hole and find that out.
Just look it all up. You know what I love is on IMDb when you look up at a movie that you're watching and it gives you all the suggestions. Yeah. And we have literally seen all of them but two. And they were all like funny nun movies, like not comedies, but like weird nun films. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yep, on the watch list.
Oh my God. Oh, I got to see that one movie that you were talking about, though.
Yeah, now I have to search out this.
See if it's like Abigail.
Yeah, it's called Bite. Yeah, it has another name, too. Blood Trap. I can't believe it. Like, the only thing I can find out is that the girl is a vampire addicted to heroin.
Oh my God.
That's the
goodness.
Difference. I doubt if she starts dancing, like doing a ballerina dance, then I'm like, this guy has a case.
Huh.
Yeah, a little shocked.
Interesting.
I just want to see Vinnie Jones and Costas Mandalore fighting a vampire girl.
Man, we like Costas Mandalore.
I know.
All right, that's it, man. You know, I'm done with this. I'm done with this killer tongue biz. It's been too much for me.
All right. So next week we are going to watch The Killer Eye. And we thank you for listening. And you know what? Please, if you're listening and you have a theme or a movie that you think is the worst movie that you cannot believe it was made, send it to us on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Mystery. We'd love to hear it. I love to hear all your suggestions, and I'd love to take them. If we haven't seen the movie, we're watching it, because we watch shit. And thanks, Beck. This is on you.
Thanks,
and
Beck.
I got to tell you, we wandered into a fun one with this one. So I can't wait the next week. So as always, thanks again, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Listen, honey, I've been very understanding considering the way you've been treating me. Wasn't very nice, was it? I just don't know how much more of this I can take.
Me either.
So stop it! Listen, none of us are gonna last forever.
Good.
But our baby will carry something of us into the future. You never know. It could bring love, peace, and happiness into the world. Save the whales and the dolphins and the prawns and little things that crawl and go looky and all the rest of that shit. Ow!
I love it when you get angry. Beat me, mama. Eat to the bar.